Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to worship today. Where's that snowstorm we're supposed to have?
It's coming.
It's coming, huh?
Oh, you paid for it.
And Joyce is on the road. Oh, my. Oh, you drove with Steve. Okay. Yeah, sure. Okay. You'll travel slowly. Good morning, Honnels. Haven't seen you for a while. How was Texas?
Nice.
Welcome home. This morning is the Sunday of the Transfiguration. Just the word transfiguration, if you take the root word, transfigure, if you take the root word, it's figure. Jesus changes. He goes up a mountain and he changes. And this is the last Sunday of the season of Epiphany. And so I think the idea here, this is the toughest lesson for a pastor to preach on, because most people don't understand what happens on Transfiguration Sunday when they hear this story. But I think the idea is that there's an epiphany that happens, an aha moment that happens with Peter, James, and John, who go up the mountain of Transfiguration and see Jesus change. So they saw something and experienced something that changed their lives. And I think the idea on Transfiguration Sunday is we're supposed to see and experience something in Jesus that changes our lives too. So that's kind of the idea behind Transfiguration Sunday. On Wednesday, we begin the season of Lent. Lent lasts 40 days, not including Sundays. Lent is symbolic of Jesus, after he was baptized, went out to the wilderness and fasted and prayed for 40 days. And so this is a time where we contemplate our relationship with Jesus, our a time to understand our theology, our understanding of God and who he is and how he acts and how he works in the world and how we participate in the life we've been given. So it's a time to take some time to say your prayers and think about your relationship with God. So it's kind of it's a more holy time, a special time. I was visiting with our organist this week, and she said that congregation has so much fun that I'm not even going to play an introduction anymore, because and I think it was our friend Wally who says, well, that would be good because we always have to speak louder to speak over the music. Anyway, the nice thing about worshiping in this congregation and being a part of this community as you just said, Joan, is we genuinely like and try to love one another. So it's nice to be here. But I'd like to invite you to Wednesday evening, Ash Wednesday service, to begin your season of Lent. If you'd like to join us for a 5:30 potluck, we'll do that, and then enter into the season together at worship at 6:30. A couple of notes for you, and this is not gossip, but I need your prayers. Marilyn Andrews is in ICU this morning. Her heart is not beating as fast or as hard, so her blood pressure is down. She's okay. They're monitoring her, but they're going to send her home on Monday with a heart monitor just to try and figure out what's going on. It might be medication. It might be that she needs one of those shocks to get your heart back in order. Second thing is Ron Hass is in ICU down in St. Cloud. They found out he passed a kidney stone last night, and now he's got a big one. And they might have to do surgery either later today or tomorrow. And he's only got one kidney. So just let's lift them up in our prayers, okay? And last but not least, Mr. and Mrs. Trandall had a 50th anniversary celebration, and they would like to invite you all to join them for coffee and cake immediately following the services today. Let's begin with a word of prayer. So we gather, Heavenly Father, as your children here on a snowy Minnesota morning. It's important that we take time out of our lives to thank you and to think upon you and to invite you into our lives. More importantly, we need to think about how we can plug into your life and the life of this world. So today, as we say our prayers and sing these hymns, as we hear your word, we pray that we might gather with you, and your spirit might move in our hearts to awaken us to the wonders of your creation, to awaken us to be able to help one another on the road of life. So send your spirit, Lord, as we say our prayers and sing these hymns. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Our first song is As Blessed Be the Lord. Since it's Valentine's Day this week, we kind of picked out love songs. And as Christians, we think about God's love for us, our love for God, and our love for each other. And this song shows that God's love is our armor and protects us from whatever we come up against in the world. And please bear with the clicking. This is...
Blessed be the Lord, the God of mercy, the God who saves. I shall not fear the dark around, nor the arrow that was my end. He will raise me from the nets of sinful men. He will protect me from their wicked hands.
Please rise. Please turn to the order of confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever.
Amen.
Let's join in confessing our need for the waters of heaven. God, our spirits are thirsty. The well which supplies our ambition and motivation is empty. The river of our enthusiasm and excitement for life is dry. We are tired of trying to do it alone, and we now acknowledge our need for the water of heaven. Water of life, allow us to drink freely from your never-ending supply of life. We have sinned and we are sorry. We have failed and we seek forgiveness. We have searched for love, yet we remain lonely. Fountain of life, cleanse us with your life-giving water. Let's take a moment for silent confession. Hear the good news of the wellspring of life. Here's the good news. Jesus has come into the world to shower us with forgiveness. God fills our lives with love until we overflow to those around us. Our dry spirits are washed in God's Holy Spirit, so new life can break out inside of us. In the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we find forgiveness for our sin and the hope for eternal life. Praise God for good news.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Holy God, mighty and immortal, you are beyond our knowing, yet we see your glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Transform us into the likeness of your Son, who renewed our humanity so that we may share in his divinity. Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Our anthem today is Amazing Love, or sometimes it's called You Are My King. In 1 John 3:1, it says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." We are God's children, and this song is about his love for us. It's an amazing love, and there can be no greater love than what he has for us.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. Spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Thank you.
Thank you, praise team. You do that with such enthusiasm. Today's lesson is from Exodus 34, verses 29 through 35. Moses' face shone with the reflected glory of God after he received the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. The sight caused the Israelites to be afraid, so Moses wore a veil to mask the radiance of God's glory, taking it off when he spoke directly with God. Moses came down from Mount Sinai. As he came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant in his hand, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face was shining, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses spoke with them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, the Israelites would see the face of Moses, that the skin of his face was shining. And Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him. Today's psalm is Psalm 99. Please respond in the bold print, and where there is a bold R, repeat the refrain, proclaim the greatness of the Lord, worship upon God's holy hill. The Lord is king, let the people tremble. The Lord is enthroned upon the cherubim. Let the earth shake.
The Lord great in Zion, is high above all peoples.
Let them confess God's name, which is great and awesome. God is the Holy One.
Almighty King, lover of justice, you have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Proclaim the greatness of the Lord. Worship upon God's holy hill.
Proclaim the greatness of the Lord and fall down before God's footstool. God is the Holy One.
Moses and Aaron among your priests, and Samuel among those who call upon your name.
You spoke to them out of the pillar of cloud. They kept your testimonies and the decree that you gave them.
O Lord our God, you answered them indeed. You are a God who forgave them, yet punished them for their evil deeds.
Proclaim the greatness of the Lord and worship upon God's holy hill, for the Lord our God is the Holy One.
Proclaim the greatness of the Lord. Worship upon God's holy hill.
Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
The holy gospel for this Transfiguration Sunday is found in the 9th chapter of St. Luke, beginning with the 28th verse. The conversation about Jesus' suffering and death is enclosed in a dazzling foreshadowing of the resurrection. God affirms Jesus' identity. The disciples are stunned speechless, and Jesus resumes his mission with the demonstration of his power over evil. Now, about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of these things they had seen,
And the next day when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met him. Just then a man from the crowd shouted, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son. He is only my only child." Suddenly a spirit seizes him, and all at once he shrieks. It convulses him until he foams at the mouth. It mauls him and will scarcely leave him. "I beg your disciples to cast it out," but they could not. Jesus answered, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." While he was coming, the demon dashed him to the ground in convulsions. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And all were astounded at the greatness of God. The word of life. Please be seated. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. 1975, the invitation by the President of Mexico went out to Mother Teresa to open a home in a very poor section of Mexico City. So the Sisters of the Poor visited in those homes of those very, very, very poor people, and they were surprised that when, despite their poverty, these impoverished people didn't ask for food or medicine or clothing or anything like that. The only thing they asked for was to say, "Sisters, talk to us about God." Today's the last Sunday in the season of Epiphany, and our theme through this Epiphany season has been discovering God. The scriptures have shown us many different epiphanies from this season. The first Sunday of Epiphany, we saw the star lead the Magi of Bethlehem so that they could see and worship the child who was King of the Jews. And on the second Sunday, you might be remember, we had the Epiphany of the dove and a voice from heaven speaking to the people, "You are my son. With you I am well pleased." Then we had the Epiphany of the people as becoming God's bride. And on the fourth Sunday, we had the Epiphany of joy. "The joy of the Lord is my strength," was our Bible verse. And last Sunday, we had an epiphany about the Christian life, that it's all about love. And finally, today, we go up the mountain with Jesus to discover that we find Christ in all his glory. The epiphany should be that he is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. We're told that on the occasion of this transfiguration of Christ, probably took place on Mount Hermon. Mount Hermon is in the plains of Jezreel. It's just a flat plains, and there's a big hill, and it goes up maybe over 9,100 feet. Had an opportunity to travel and to go there. Have you ever seen the cartoon B.C.? B.C. has these little ants running around, and there's this flat land, and then there's this big hill. That's kind of the way this Mount Hermon is, in the middle of the plains of Jezreel. We traveled up switchbacks for about 45 minutes, and when we reached the top, there was all this nice forest that you could walk through, not forest that wasn't as quite as thick as what we have in back of our church. Our professor gave us an assignment. We had worship together in one of the temples up there. Jesus said, "Don't build any temples," in our lesson. Now there's three temples, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for Jesus, run by different denominations. After our worship, the professor gave us an assignment to go out and spend an hour just by yourselves meditating. And I found a place below a tree, the sun shining down. I had the most amazing nap in my whole life. I rested in the arms of Jesus. And it was as if I could see the angels myself. I mean, it was a beautiful, warm, nice afternoon. And so we have our lesson here. The story begins about 8 days after Jesus had said this. He took Peter, John, and James with him and went up the mountain to pray. You might rightly ask, 8 days after saying what? Well, this is the most interesting. It was 8 days after Simon Peter had his own significant epiphany. Remember, Jesus has asked the disciples, who are people saying that I am? And Peter says, and Jesus says, and who do you say that I am, Peter? Peter says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And in Luke's telling of the story, Jesus immediately warns them not to tell anyone. And he says to them, the Son of Man is going to have to suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the teachers of the law. And he must be killed, and on the third day he will rise again. This itself is an epiphany. Jesus is telling these followers of his, these disciples, that he's going to suffer and die and then be resurrected. And this is followed by another epiphany as to what their life is to be like after his resurrection. He says to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and for the gospel's will find it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and lose or forfeit their very selves? Then he concludes this section by saying, truly I tell you, some of you are standing here. You won't taste death before they see the coming of the kingdom of God. And he's talking about his own death and resurrection. This is an important chapter in the Bible. Part of what we read this morning. Lots revealed here. And in a sense, it's all leading up to this high moment that takes place on Mount Hermon. It all just sets the table. And so we have, after 8 days, Jesus said this. He takes Peter, James, and John with him, goes up the mountain to pray. Don't you think it's significant that Christ felt a need from time to time to go off by himself or in the company of a few of his friends and pray? I mean, that really should stick out for us, huh? After all, he's Christ. I mean, he's the Son of God. Surely he was in constant communion with God. His thoughts and God's thoughts were one and the same, as I understand it. Yet he felt the need for a time of prayer. Doesn't that say something to us about how we should spend our time? Some of you know that when I got out of high school, I sailed the oar boats for a couple of summers. When I was on the oar boats, I was a deck watch. And one of my jobs when we went through the Sault Ste. Marie and the locks, they would put me on a big swing. It was a big pole. I would jump on this little board with a rope, and some guy would, the bosun's mate would hang onto the rope. They'd swing me over when we were in the locks and let me down. And the first time I did that, whoa, this is something. Then someone would throw me a rope, a line, and I'd have to pull in these big metal cables that they were let out of a steam machine. And then I'd take these big cables and drop them on the big hook that they had there, and it would pull the boat next to the dock there, so that it wouldn't be banging on the locks. And what happened there? It seemed to me that when they pulled with those great motors to pull the cable in, it came to me that the pier wasn't pulled out to the ship. The ship was pulled snugly up to the pier, and to the pier, and that's a lot like prayer. Prayer is the rope that pulls God and us together. That's what prayer is about. It doesn't pull God down to us. When we say our prayers, it pulls us to God. And it seems like we need to learn to say with Christ, the master of the art of praying, not my will, but thy will. That's what happens in prayer. Maybe that's why Christ spent time in prayer. Maybe the events that accompanied being continually in the public eye pulled his focus and his energy away from God. Just like you and me, we can get focused away from God. That's why I'm glad we worship on Sunday morning. That's why I'm glad many of you come to Bible studies, because it pulls us back into the energy of God. And Jesus took time to be in the Father's presence simply as a way of energizing his ministry again. I've been reading about Desmond Tutu, the president of South Africa. Every month he goes for 2 days away to pray. He said, "There, I leave and go on a retreat for 2 days a month so that I can do the work that God has called me to do the other 28 days. Prayer is important. Story continues. As Jesus is praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with him. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, 'Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah.'" And Luke tells us that Simon Peter did not know what he was saying. He didn't know what he was saying. While he's speaking, a cloud appears and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him." And when the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and did not tell anyone at the time what they had seen. Here on the mountain of Transfiguration, we see the greatest epiphany that ever has been done. Huh? We see Christ in all his glory. He is changed here in all his glory. We see his appearance changed. Both his face and his clothing are become pure white as lightning. They were as bright as a flash of lightning. And we see him in the company of these two lights of the Old Testament, Elijah, the great prophet, and Moses, the great emancipator, the giver of the law. And we hear the voice of God, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." What do we do with this whole thing? This is what I've struggled with as I thought about this passage. First, let's begin with Christ in all his glory. Peter had already announced that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, huh? The other disciples probably were still unconvinced. So at least for James and John, this experience on the mountain provides confirmation that Peter is right, that Jesus is special, that Jesus is in fact the Messiah, the Son of God. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changes and his clothes become as bright as a flash of lightning. This is God's way of showing us that Jesus is one of a kind. There's no one else who can compare to Jesus. Peter, James, and John experienced Christ in all of his glory. I wish I was there. I wish I could see it. If there had been any doubt in their minds whatsoever that he was who he was to become, it would have been gone in a flash after what they experienced in a mountain. But no, what he said came true. They also see him in the company of Moses and Elijah. This is significant. I love the way that Barbara Brown Taylor describes it. She was a classmate of mine when I studied in Israel. Now she's gone on to be a prolific author and a speaker at all kinds of Christian conferences around the world. This is what she says. She says, "To see him standing there with Moses and Elijah was like seeing the Mount Rushmore of heaven, the lawgiver, the prophet, the Messiah, wrapped in such glory. It is a wonder the other three could see them at all." You remember that Moses and Elijah had their own mountaintop experiences. In our lesson from Exodus, we got Moses coming down from Mount Sinai carrying the tablets of the law. He wasn't aware that his face was radiant. He wasn't aware that his face had changed. And so when Aaron and the rest of the Israelites see Moses, they're afraid to come near him because he's changed. Something's happened to him. That's how brightly Moses' face had become. And when Moses finishes speaking to them, he puts a veil over his face. Eventually, the radiance fades from Moses' face, but that's what being in the presence of God did to him. And Elijah, we read about Elijah going up to Mount Horeb in 1 Kings. Remember, he had fled the wrath of Queen Jezebel. Jezebel was after him, wanting to kill him. He was afraid for his life, so he takes off running, goes up Mount Horeb, feeling sorry for himself. He hides in a cave. He's afraid to come out. And he starts saying his prayers, and the writer, this is what the writer describes his experience like. He says, "Then a great and powerful wind tears the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, 'What are you doing in here, Elijah?'" What are you doing here, Elijah? "You're hiding. You're hiding, boy." Scriptures don't say that Elijah's face shone brightly, but it's clear that his life was changed. He turned around and he went to become a man of God. You can't come into God's presence without something important happening to you or to your life, huh? You may or may not look different, but you can't help being different if you come into Christ's presence face to face. Disciples saw Jesus' appearance transformed. They saw him in the presence of Moses and Elijah, and that was special. One last thing we see in this lesson. They hear the voice of God saying, "This is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him." That's why Christ brought them up on the mountain. This was the ultimate epiphany he wanted these disciples to have, I think, and to grasp. He was doing the will of his Father. Even more importantly, he and the Father were one. And so the Father will say, "This is my Son whom I have chosen. Listen to him." This is one of the holiest moments in Scripture. If you can imagine being Peter or James or John and seeing this whole event, hearing the voice of God and hearing him say, "Listen to him." This is Epiphany at its best. God is revealed to the disciples of Christ in all his glory. Christ is revealed as God's Son, the Messiah, the Savior. It's the kind of scene that makes us all want to take off our shoes because we're on holy ground. Because we're in the presence, we see the presence of God. That's the kind of experience I think that's missing in the secular world today. That's the kind of experience that we don't have 21 centuries later. I wonder if it's even possible for us to talk about an experience of holiness anymore. The majesty of God anymore in today's world, huh? When I think about my faith and some of the Christian talk that's out there and some of our actions, we've reduced the gospel to almost a checkup of from the neck up, a checkup of the neck up. Our prayers are like, "Lord, please help me have safe travel," which is fine. Or, "Please do this for me," or "do that for me," or "let me win the lottery," or "let the Vikings win." A checkup of the neck up. The Gophers win, huh? That would really be an answer to prayer. Our faith is, we don't have these epiphanies anymore. It's even possible for us to talk about God's glory or God's majesty or God's holiness. Is that possible anymore? Jesus went off to a mountain with his disciples to pray, even though he was God's own son. Jesus needed to pray just as you and I need to take time to pray each day. I would invite you to do that during Lent. And while he's praying, the appearance of his face changes and his clothes become as bright as a flash of lightning. And the two men, Moses and Elijah, appear as in their glorious splendor talking with him. And finally, a cloud appears and covers them, and a voice of the cloud comes to them and says, "This is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him." And I suppose the question is, are you listening? Are you listening to him? On this Transfiguration Sunday, do you sense his presence? Do you sense his presence? Can you feel his glory, his majesty, his holiness, his specialness? The impoverished people of Mexico City didn't ask for food or medicine or clothing from the nuns who had come to minister them. Instead, they asked sisters, talk to us about God. Talk to us about God. Are we as wise as they are? Is that yearning in our hearts as well? I think maybe that's what we need to look for this Transfiguration Sunday. Amen. May God's peace and love be with us this week, now and always. Amen. This time we'll invite our praise team to come forward, and we'll invite our ushers to receive our morning offering.
Our song is Bind Us Together, and just reminds us that as Christians, we are bound together by God's love and our love for each other.
Please rise. Please turn to the offertory prayer on page 4. Let us pray. God of all creation, we are yours, and all we have belongs to you. Accept these offerings and bless their use in your work among us. Amen. Called by the Holy Spirit into relationship with a loving God, we pray for the church, all in need, and the whole creation. Take a moment for silent prayer. God of glory and grace, you answer those who call on your name. Continue the transformation of your church so that we may share your love with the world. Lord, in your mercy, let the mountains and valleys that you created be places of worship. Help us to treat your good creation with the respect that it deserves. Lord, in your mercy. Let the rulers of the earth honor your decrees and uphold your statutes so that your peace would reign throughout the earth. Give mercy to the poor and justice to the weak. Lord, in your mercy. Heal the sick, comfort the grieving, send peace to the dying and companionship to those in prison, whether the prison is one for correction or one built of human loneliness. Be with all who suffer. Especially remember in our prayers today Bob Vorlachek and Dean Newman, Arlene Westerlin. Watch over Marilyn Andrews these days and comfort and be with Ron Hass and his family. I'll be also with those who we name in our hearts before you who need your healing touch. Lord, in your mercy. You spoke to Israel in a pillar of cloud. Speak to this community of faith so that we might be a place of refuge and help for our neighbors. Lord, in your mercy. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for those who are gathered here this day. We pray, O Lord, that we might walk in your will and enjoy your love and peace and hope.
We ask your blessing to be with Artie Kendall as he travels home. Give her safe travel. Be with the Trandals as they enter into another 50 years of wedded bliss. Thank you for the love that we have for one another. Holy Spirit, keep us in your care until we gather with all the saints from every time and place in the company of our sovereign God. Lord, in your mercy. Into your loving hands, gracious God, we place ourselves and all our prayers, spoken and unspoken, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen. We'll be doing the Lord's Prayer. We've done it once before. It's one that Diane and Jones brought to us. We tried to copy the music and it just didn't work. So hopefully you'll catch on to the tune.
Benediction. Lord bless you and keep you. Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go forth into the world to serve God with gladness. Be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted, honor all people, love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Thanks be to God.
We'll have two closing songs that will write into each other. The first one is Love the Lord. This is based on Luke 10:27. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and strength and mind. And then to love others as you would love yourselves. And then the last song is Jesus in the Rock. Jesus is the rock. Even when we're feeling down, we know that God's love is there to help bring us up.
Jesus is the rock and he rolls my blues away. Jesus is the rock and rolls my blues away.
Jesus is the rock.